Welcome to the Wisdom Journey. In Ephesians 4, Paul challenges Christians to be different from the world around us. He writes, "You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds." Paul calls us to refuse our old way of living and embrace new life in Christ. We're to practice both refusal and renewal every day. Keep listening as Stephen Davey explores how to shine the light of God's truth in a dark world.
I remember as a little boy listening one Sunday to a guest speaker at the church where I grew up there in Norfolk, Virginia. The speaker was the famous author and Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer. He'd come over from Switzerland to speak, and I can still remember him wearing his knickers and a tweed sport coat, and he stood to speak. But I don't remember anything he said. Later on in life, I would end up reading some of his best-selling books. On one occasion, Schaeffer wrote this, and I remember this to this day. He said this, "Tell me what the world is saying today, and I'll tell you what the church will be saying in 7 years." Well, sad to say, his words seemed to be right. In fact, a liberal pastor here in my community said some time ago that when culture changes, well, the church ought to change, you know, right along with it. Well, what kind of testimony can we have in our world if we're not any different from our world? And what kind of hope can we offer our world if the church is just as confused and corrupt as the culture around us today? Well, the Apostle Paul is about to challenge the Christian to be different, to act differently, to think differently from the dark world around us. And as we sail back now into Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes here in verse 17, "I testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." Now, Paul uses the term Gentiles here to refer simply to unbelievers, and they're characterized by a number of sinful things, which Paul lists here: futile thinking, hardness of heart, sensuality, greed. Well, then in verse 20, he says to his Christian readers this, "But that is not the way you learned Christ." Well, that's another way of saying you ought to know better. That's not what it means to live like a Christian. You've been given a new life in Christ. Now, this new life involves two key practices. First, Paul says here in verse 22, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life." This is what we could call the practice of refusal. Every day, you're going to have to refuse your old way of living. Secondly, we're not only to develop the practice of refusal, we're also to develop the practice of renewal. Paul writes here in verses 23 and 24 that we must be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So think of it this way. As Christians, we've taken off our old clothing, our old life, and we've put on new outfits, this new life in Christ. And every day when you get out of bed, you got to decide, beloved, which outfit you're going to put on for the day. This is the daily practice for the believer as he refuses those old patterns of sin and replaces them with new patterns of holiness. So keep this in mind, beloved. Breaking bad habits isn't just a matter of stopping them, but of replacing them with good habits that honor Jesus Christ. Now, here in verse 25, Paul says to put off lying and replace it with speaking the truth. Angry reactions might have been your old pattern, but Paul says put a limit on your anger, and that's what he means here. Look at the limit, verses 26 and 27. "Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." In other words, don't let the devil take those seeds of anger and water them overnight so that they just sprout up even larger the next morning. Well, if stealing has been a part of your old life, Paul says here in verse 28, to replace that with labor, doing honest work with your own hands, so that you may have something to share with anyone in need. So that old habit of stealing is replaced with a new habit of sharing. Well, maybe you've had a problem with foul language in your old life. Paul writes here in verse 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths." Corrupting, by the way, here means rotten. Sounds like my mother when I was growing up. "Stephen, don't you dare use that rotten language." Well, this kind of language tears other people down. It never builds them up. Well, now Paul writes in verse 30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So as part of our new lives, we recognize the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Everything we say, He hears. Everywhere we go, He's along for the ride, so to speak. Now, we can't lose the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by Him for eternity. But we can sure grieve Him whenever we slip those old clothes back on again. Well, now Paul lists a number of sinful actions here in verse 31 that we need to avoid, actions that involve bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's complaining, slander. Well, that's a closet full of old clothing not worth putting back on. Instead, get dressed up, verse 32 says here, with kindness, tenderheartedness, and Christ-like forgiveness toward others. So you get the idea that while we're new people in Christ, now that we become Christians, well, we're still going to battle, you know, those old temptations, that old gravitational pull of sin back toward our former lives. Well, Paul, he's not quite through yet. Practicing the art of refusal and the act of renewal is still on his mind. Now we get to chapter 5, and he writes here in verse 1, "Be imitators of God as beloved children." What this means is that God is, well, He's now your father. So imitate your father. The family resemblance ought to be growing on you over time, and it starts with Christ-like love. Verse 2 says, "We're to love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us." Well, now, Paul contrasts true love with selfish love. He writes here in verse 3 that sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. One translation renders it, "There must not be even a hint of these sinful practices." The same thing goes, Paul writes here, for filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, which are out of place. That's verse 4. In other words, there's no room for off-color jokes, crude conversations. I'm shocked today to hear crude jokes and off-color speech, even swearing, in the pulpit today. Seems like that's the new badge of honor. Well, that's not a laughing matter at all. Now, here in verse 5, we're told why we should never make light of immorality. Everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Well, let me tell you, we shouldn't be laughing then with people like this. We should be warning them. They are in eternal danger of the judgment of God. Paul says further here in verse 7, "Do not become partners with them." Now, yes, you're going to rub shoulders with immoral people in your daily life, at school, at work, in the neighborhood. Just don't be drawn into their lifestyle. Don't compromise your witness by laughing at their vulgar jokes or even staying around to listen to their stories of their immoral escapades over the weekend. Paul writes here in verse 8 that while we were once in the same spiritual darkness as these people, he says, "We are now light in the Lord and should walk as children of light." In fact, beloved, by comparison, the purity of your life serves to expose as evil the deeds of those who are still in darkness. Paul tells us here in verse 12 that we should consider it shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. We don't even want to want to talk about that old life anymore. You see, our appetites have changed. Our interests have changed. In fact, our ideas of fun have changed completely, haven't they? We are now the light in this world, which means we're no longer like this world anymore. So here's the question. 7 years from now, are we going to look and talk and act like the world does today? Or will we be distinctively different as we shine the light of God's truth in our dark world? Well, we'll stop here for today. Until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today, you learned how Paul calls you to live distinctly different from the world. So, practice refusing your old sinful ways and embrace renewal in Christ. If you haven't already, I invite you to sign up for what we call Friends of Wisdom. When you join, you'll start receiving valuable resources from Stephen to help you walk wisely through life. Every Tuesday, Friends of Wisdom get an email from Stephen. It might be an encouraging article to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life, or an answer to a Bible question he received. It's always fascinating to see what people are asking and to read Stephen's answers. At least once a month, Friends of Wisdom receive a free resource to further support their spiritual growth. Joining Friends of Wisdom is both free and easy. Simply visit wisdomonline.org/friends and fill out a brief form. That's it. You'll be signed up and you'll start hearing from Stephen very soon. As a special bonus, when you sign up, you'll receive 2 free resources immediately. Stephen has written 2 popular booklets. One called Blessed Assurance, which has helped thousands understand what it means to have assurance of their salvation. And the other called The Coming Tribulation, which answers some common questions about the future time known as the Great Tribulation. You'll receive both of these valuable resources as soon as you join. Do that today, then join us back here next time to continue along this wisdom journey.